Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Wrestling Chat Radio. Well, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome once again to another edition of Wrestle Chat Radio. This time, our Hell in the Cell review. Marcus Kane, ravaged by the flu, but still coming to you live from the SBTV studios right here in New York. And for the next hour and a half, what shall we talk about, gang? What shall we talk about? I wonder what's on everybody's mind. Gee, you couldn't tell, could you? Couldn't tell by the explosion that happened last night at about 10:35 on the internet. Couldn't tell by the explosion in my inbox at about 10:36. Couldn't tell by everyone this morning. What shall we talk about? Shall we talk about Lacey Evans? And how come she's going to be feuding with Natty eternally? Shall we talk about why Randy Orton and Ali were just backstage at a pay-per-view they had no match for? I'm just floating around. You want to have a match? Okay. I mean, that's what happens at Raw or SmackDown. Not a pay-per-view. Not a main event. Shall we talk about AJ Styles as being relegated to six-man tag team matches because there's nobody to challenge him for his belt? Or should we talk about the fact that today everyone should be talking about Becky Lynch and Sasha Banks putting on what probably was the best women's match this year? And yet nobody's talking about that. Because the WWE invariably has their way of killing anything good they do by destroying something else. The WWE proved last night, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that they are positively, absolutely incapable of understanding what it is about certain characters or certain performers that grasps their audience. So I do want to talk about Becky Lynch, and I do want to talk about Sasha Banks and say I was proud of both of them, and I really thought this was so innovative, and it was exciting, and it had zero flaws. There was no botches. It was amazing. An amazing match. That's what the takeaway should have been from Hell in a Cell, folks. If the WWE could have cut their sticky little fingers off overbooking everything in the world, that should have been the takeaway. Becky Lynch and Sasha Banks as match of the year candidate, easy. Was I surprised at the outcome? Yeah, I really was. I don't know what they're going to do because Becky Lynch is going to SmackDown. But man, what a match, huh? Charlotte Flair wins her 10th title. Are we talking about that? No. Was it a great, great match? No, it was a confusing match. I don't know why Charlotte Flair is still acting heel. And I don't know why Bayley is still rotating between face and heel in the middle of a match, but okay. So before we get to any of that, let's just address the 800-pound gorilla in the room. Before I came on the air, one of our listeners sent me a Wikipedia description of Hell in a Cell, where it basically says there is no way out. There are no rules. There are no disqualifications. Pinfall or submission is the only way to end the match. And the referee is there for one reason and one reason only, and that is either to signal the person has submitted or count the three count, and that's it. But you know, the WWE, in their infinite wisdom, has decided, well, that's okay, because if someone is hurt beyond being able to continue, it would make no sense for them to just say, well, cover them quick, and then we'll get the paramedics in here, right? No, we'll stop the match right now. But that is so minor. That's so minor. That's the least important thing that ruined this match. That's the least important thing. What ruined this match, you may ask? Well, let's start from the beginning. First off, if you're going to keep him in a red light, a la Sin Cara. Remember when Sin Cara was a blue light? If you're going to keep Bray Wyatt in a red light, please explain to me who asked for that. Did The Fiend come up to production backstage and say, could you put me in a red light so I don't look like a dumbass in a mask? This just smacks. I was waiting for the cockroaches to appear on the mat. Remember when that happened with Randy Orton and it destroyed Bray Wyatt? Now let's try it again. But even that's minor. Because to be honest, it did make him look creepier. It did give it a little sense of whatever. And as long as it was being done just for Hell in a Cell, okay, I can live with it. Here's what I can't live with. And I know a lot of people are putting the blame on Seth Rollins, and a lot of people are putting the blame on the booking. But look, everything was wrong with this match, and here's why. Number one, the match should have never happened. I don't know how many times I said this. There is no reason on God's green earth for The Fiend to have had a title shot. He has beaten no one. He beat Finn Balor, one guy, one match. That's it. And automatically gets a title shot. You knew from the beginning you have two choices with this. Let The Fiend win, which is a very bad decision, because then he's going to have to lose it within a few months. Or let Seth Rollins win, which is a way worse decision, because then you've destroyed The Fiend's credibility as this indestructible monster. So the very fact is, the match never should have happened. You painted yourself into a corner and then sat there like dumbasses going, how do we get out of it? I don't know. How about you don't put yourself into it? But since you did, let's talk about everything that went wrong. First off, you have destroyed Seth Rollins' finishing maneuver now. Even Brock Lesnar could not get up from 3. The Fiend got up from 43. You have to be very careful with The Fiend. I warned everyone, be very cautious with The Fiend. There's two things you cannot do. You cannot make him look remotely weak. And you cannot make him look like he is supernatural and nothing short of a Sherman tank will stop him. Because either one is the death blow of The Fiend. Why, you ask? Well, it's very obvious. Because if he's made to look weak, he's not deadly. And he's not fearsome. If he's made to look too strong, completely unstoppable, you know that's going to weaken over time. And as soon as he loses his first match, all that's done. It's all done. So The Fiend was a character you use sparingly. He attacks certain people. He wins. Basically what you saw last night was them going from chapter 1 of a story to chapter 21. This match should have happened 8 months from now, where you finally see The Fiend get weakened by an opponent. You finally see The Fiend in some trouble. You finally see an opponent that says, well, I'm going that extra length and I've actually got him on the ropes. This is his second match and he's on the ropes. But let's stick with the first part. You've destroyed Seth Rollins' finishing maneuvers. Why did you book it to keep giving him these curb stomps that he's kicking out of? First or second one, fine. Not 20 of them. And a pedigree and everything else. But then you did just the opposite, didn't you? Then you made, it wasn't enough you made The Fiend look unstoppable, which means the minute he loses, his gimmick is over. Then you decided, let's make him look weak. And he's literally lying in the ring, prone, for 5 minutes, while Seth Rollins goes shopping underneath the ring apron, looking for various objects that he obviously doesn't know which side they're on, to attempt to finish off The Fiend, who obviously has already finished off because he hasn't moved a muscle. The sight of seeing the Fiend prone on the mat, unable to even rise to his feet or roll over for 5 minutes, destroyed that character's credibility. Absolutely destroyed it. Then you have to come up with a bullshit ending. You have to come up with Seth Rollins finds a sledgehammer, because I guess, I guess it's Triple H. Well, give him the pedigree and then go for the sledgehammer, because if you use the old Triple H tactics, then nobody can get up from it. So he gets a sledgehammer, which, of course, the referee right away says, this isn't what you're about, because suddenly he's Dr. Phil. He's not a referee, he's Dr. Phil. He's telling Seth Rollins, this isn't what you're about, Seth. Rethink this, Seth. Did anybody ever say that to Triple H when he pulled out the sledgehammer, hit Vince McMahon in the head with it? I don't recall it. Did any referee step in front of Triple H and say, think about it, Triple H. This isn't what you're about. What the hell is the referee doing moralizing to Seth Rollins? In a match that has no rules, by the way. If it's why is it under the ring? Does it take a sledgehammer to set up a ring? Here's the answer. I've set up plenty of them. No. So then when the fans realize, well, we see where this is going. You think fans aren't smart? You know, I talk to people in the wrestling business all the time. And a lot of the workers appreciate the fans, but some of them, not so much. And a lot of the people who work behind the scenes, not at all. Oh, fans, they're not that bright, really. Well, that crowd last night was pretty bright because, boy, did they pick up on where this was going. They saw the writing on the wall and said, this is going down the crapper. We don't want to see the Fiend prone on the mat for 5 minutes. We don't want to see a referee playing Dr. Phil. We sure as hell don't want to see the Fiend lose right now after all of this buildup that you've given him. But guess what, folks? The Fiend lost. Because that was not a disqualification. Despite what X-Pac said on his podcast, the official word is that the referee stopped the match because the competitor was unable to continue. So now we get to see paramedics flying into the ring to help the Fiend. Well, the Fiend is so hurt, paramedics need to come in and help him. You've destroyed Seth Rollins. Fans are booing him. You have destroyed, not only have you destroyed the Fiend, and you have, you've destroyed Seth Rollins. So congratulations. Whoever booked that match should be fired. And if it was Vince or Triple H or someone you cannot fire, never let them near the book again. You want an ending to the match? Let old Marcus Kane, the dumbass who knows nothing about wrestling, and should just eat what they put on my plate, let me get you out of the corner you painted yourself into. Shall I? Seth Rollins gives the Fiend a curb stomp. He pops up like it was nothing. Seth Rollins goes into the panic just like he did. Seth Rollins realizes, I don't know what I'm in here against, but I don't want any more of it. And he attempts to try to climb up the cage, out the cage, anything he can do. He realizes he can't get out, but he's trying to get away from him. The Fiend at some point smashes through the damn cage. Sends Seth Rollins to the outside. Starts mauling him beyond belief. When they see the blood splatting out of his mouth and everything, they say, this is just a no contest. Seth Rollins cannot continue. You don't win the belt. Because the match is just wiped. There is no match. The match is wiped. Fans still would have said it's a bullshit ending, but they would have said, it's okay, though. Because I see you were clever enough to get out of it. Seth Rollins was mauled like an animal. The Fiend looks like he's unstoppable. They had to call the match because Seth Rollins was hurt so bad that nobody could continue. And the Fiend didn't follow the rules anyway because he took him outside the cage where you're not supposed to be. And at some point, they just had to call the whole thing because a person's health, an actual livelihood was at stake, and they just said, throw it out. throw the match out. It's out of control. Then The Fiend comes out looking like a world beater, who really didn't care about the belt anyway. He just wanted to hurt Seth Rollins. And Seth Rollins comes out looking like a guy who maybe survived it, but just by the skin of his teeth. You did just exactly the opposite, didn't you? You made it look like, well, we had to stop the match because The Fiend was so badly hurt by Seth Rollins that he cannot continue. The Fiend was dismantled. So if Seth Rollins can dismantle The Fiend, why do we think Braun Strowman can't? Why do we think Roman Reigns can't? Why do we think Brock Lesnar, whoever, why do we think any of them can't? You took the shine completely off this character. It wasn't bad enough with the hokey lights. It wasn't bad enough that a minute earlier he was no-selling kendo stick shots, no-selling curb stomps, but then all of a sudden, he's overselling. He's just laying there like you shot him for 5 minutes. While Seth Rollins goes from corner to corner saying, where did they put the sledgehammer? Where did they put the ladder? Where did they put the chairs? He's not moving. He's not getting up. Now, you tried to save this, but it's too late because the fans already know it's bullshit, and the fans are already booing, and the fans are already chanting refund and restart the match and AEW and whatever else they can chant. You tried to save it by having him pop up once the paramedics were in there to carry him away. Paramedics were in there to carry the Fiend away. Because that sounds like a good idea, right? Is that what you did when The Undertaker first showed up? His second match, did the paramedics have to run in and take him away? No, that's right. He didn't show any kind of weakness for, I don't know, a year, right? The only way he could beat The Undertaker was in gimmick matches where, well, you don't have to pin him or submit him. You just got to get him in the coffin or you just got to escape the cage. Okay. Is that what you did with Kane when Kane first was this indestructible monster? No. Nobody ran in, had to get the paramedics. You had the easiest character in the world to continue with in Bray Wyatt's Fiend. It's a very simple process, WWE, if you have one creative bone in your body. The problem is you either overbook or underbook. The problem is you don't understand why the character is connecting. You think it's this reason, and it's not. You have no clue. You better get some people on your writing staff or somebody with the balls who does have the actual knowledge to be able to stand up and say, no, this is a mistake. Do you think for 1 minute that if I was in that room when you're booking this match, that I wouldn't have stood up and said, this is a complete mistake. You can't book this way. The fans are going to go friggin' nuts. You're going to end this thing with boos and chants of bullshit. Because I would have. Probably would have been fired on the spot, but I would have. Because anyone who understands anything about the fans know that's not what they wanted to see. But you did it anyway, didn't you? Because you know best. You know best. So now how do you rehab the Fiend, who's been beaten so badly, they had to stop the match? I want you to consider that for a minute. When is the last time any athlete that you know in the WWE, whether they're a good guy or a bad guy, heel or face, when is the last time a referee said, this person has been beaten so badly they no longer can continue, I have to stop the match for their own health? I can't think of the last time. So what you basically, the story you told is Seth Rollins beat the Fiend so badly that the referee was scared for the Fiend's livelihood. Does that sound like a way to promote the Fiend? Does it? The answer is no, you morons. You know, you cannot do it, can you? You get something good and you must ruin it. It's like it's in your DNA. How do we ruin it? How many times do you want Bray Wyatt to invent himself as something brilliant? He came in, it was brilliant. You ruined it. You had a chance to turn him face. with Randy Orton. You ruined it. He reinvents himself as this unbelievably creative thing. You ruined it. And believe me, you ruined it. Now you're all scrambling, I'm sure, backstage with your thumbs in your ass going, how do we fix this? How do we fix this? How about you didn't do it at all? How about you have one person on your damn staff that's not a yes man who takes a look at that thing and says, no, don't do this. Just one. And you got a real problem with Seth Rollins. And I'm going to tell you what it is. Seth Rollins' ego is out of control. I can understand him being upset that the match didn't go smashingly for him. But Seth Rollins was visibly angry at the fans. Visibly angry. Because he didn't get the hero's welcome. This is the Bret Hart syndrome. Something Bret Hart got over. But when Bret Hart was in his heyday, his ego was out of control. You got that again. Told you a long time ago about Seth Rollins, and people yelled at me and said, oh, it's like I told them there was no Santa Claus. I knew all about Seth Rollins when they used to do that rip-off of Punk'd on WWE Network, and Xavier Woods pulled a joke on him. And the joke was that they were trying to get backstage so they could get ready for their matches, and he had a fake security guard stand by who pretended not to recognize some of the top wrestlers in the WWE and refused to let them in unless they could prove who they were. Wade Barrett fell victim to it. Wade Barrett took it with great humor. He said, do you watch the product? I mean, I'm on it every week. You don't know who I am? No, I don't. Okay, well, he turns to his friend and says, it doesn't speak very well of me, does it? Okay, well, we'll have to get somebody down here, you know, who can identify me because I have to get in there. What does Seth Rollins say? How dare you? And when the guy says, oh, why? Are you part of the talent? No, I'm not part of the talent. I'm the talent. That's exactly what he said. I'm the talent. And I said right there, this guy's out of control. And last night proved it again. He didn't want to get in that cage. He did his job, but he did not want to get in that cage, rightfully so, with The Fiend, because he knew what was going to happen. A, he was going to get booed. B, the ending was garbage. You think Seth Rollins don't know that ending's garbage? The story they were trying to tell folks is this. Seth Rollins had to go to the darkest spot in within him to attempt to beat The Fiend. But they didn't tell that story. They fucked that story all up. Because the story should have been, no matter what he did, he couldn't keep him down. Or if you wanted to play that game where it looks like Seth Rollins was legitimately had the Fiend decimated, the Fiend should have popped up before that sledgehammer hit, making it appear as though I was just playing possum. I'm not even hurt. Freezing Seth Rollins in mid-swing with that sledgehammer and then mauling him like an animal. And then maybe if he took the sledgehammer and started wailing on Seth Rollins, they said, well, there's no way you can, disqualification or not, you can't bring a gun in and shoot the man. You can't bring a knife in and just start stabbing him. We can't have a man killed. So if he started wailing on him with that sledgehammer, maybe you could have stopped the match. And people would have said, well, of course you got to stop the match. He was killing Seth Rollins. You can't kill a man. But ironically, you have a referee stepping in front of Seth Rollins saying, Seth, don't use the hammer. That's not who you are. Bray Wyatt brought in that mallet. He didn't step in front of Bray Wyatt and say, Bray, this is not who you are. What's worse, a big giant friggin' mallet or a sledgehammer? I don't know. It doesn't even make any sense. So I'm going to go to the phones now, and I do want to talk about the rest of the matches. But this is what everybody wants to talk about. And I'm telling you right now, AEW chants ringing out at that arena did not mean we like AEW better than WWE. That's not what it meant. You know what it meant? We have an alternative, Vince. We have an alternative, Triple H. And if you're going to give a shit and make us try to eat it, we're going to go to the other restaurant. It was not a signal of we like it better than WWE. It was a signal of we have an option. We have choices now. You can't force feed us garbage and tell us it's filet mignon. And we're tired of you ruining everything we love. That's what that was about. I hear there were a lot of people who asked for refunds, and they based those on a couple of things. One, that none of the matches were announced. A lot of these matches were just put together last minute. Excuse me. And two, they were so dissatisfied with the product at the end. So what is the overwhelming majority of people talking about today? Not how Becky Lynch and Sasha Banks probably put on the best Hell in a Cell match since Mick Foley and The Undertaker. No, they're not talking about that. So what did the WWE do with Hell in a Cell? They managed to, let's see what they've done from SmackDown to Hell in a Cell. They've managed to totally destroy Kofi Kingston, totally destroy Rey Mysterio, totally destroy Seth Rollins, totally destroy The Fiend. Yeah, you're doing well. You had a hell of a week. Hell of a week. And you managed to undermine Becky Lynch and Sasha Banks, who everyone should be talking about today. That should have been your crown jewel, no pun intended. That should have been the crown jewel that you hung your hat on and said, man, if you missed that pay-per-view. Becky Lynch and Sasha Banks tore that place apart. And we're so proud of them. That should have been it. Because I got news. If that Fiend match ended with The Fiend smashing repeatedly Seth Rollins with a sledgehammer, fake sledgehammer, just get one of them friggin' $8 sledgehammers you can buy at, oh, I don't know, Spirit Halloween? Nobody knows the difference in a green, red light. Smashing Seth Rollins in the ribcage with a sledgehammer until the referee literally says, forget it, and you even have police come in. Could you imagine how much that audience would have popped? If security, police, everybody comes in to try to get that sledgehammer away from him, the announcer's screaming he's going to kill him. This isn't a wrestling match. You got to throw this out. No, instead you got Jerry the King Lawler, who I have the ultimate respect for, but Jerry the King Lawler, who was attacked by the Fiend, is yelling at Seth Rollins, no, Seth, no. That's going too far. I don't know. If some guy tried to kill me a few weeks ago, I'd be like, do whatever. I hope they're not trying to plan a double switch, Seth the heel and the Fiend the face, because that's not going to work. It's not going to work. You don't even understand why the Fiend is popular, do you? The Fiend is popular because no matter how much people like five-star wrestling matches, they like one person, just one, in a federation that you literally say, he's just unbeatable. He's just unbeatable. And when he shows up, it's done. They had Andre the Giant for a long time. That's what they used him for. That's why he wasn't the champion. He would show up, beat everybody's ass, and nobody got demoted for it because you're like, oh, well, this is their top guy, but that's Andre the Giant. And Andre the Giant ain't losing. And he just whipped somebody's ass, and it didn't even hurt their push. Because you're like, oh, well, Andre the Giant, of course he lost to him. That don't mean he's going to lose to anybody else. And then you had The Undertaker. Well, wow, of course he lost to The Undertaker. Doesn't mean he's going to lose to anybody else. No shame in losing to The Undertaker. This could have been what you did with The Fiend, but all you had to do, very simply, is have two separate entities. Bray Wyatt and The Fiend. Not The Fiend, Bray Wyatt. Bray Wyatt and The Fiend. When it's Bray Wyatt, he comes out as that funhouse guy. He's tough, but he's not unbeatable. But if you piss him off or beat him, you got to deal with The Fiend. And you're not beating him. You're just getting mauled like an animal. The Fiend don't want a belt. regardless of what drunk Booker T said on the pre-show. How about somebody doesn't allow Booker T to drink before the pre-show? How about that? So he doesn't say, no, you don't understand. Bray Wyatt wants all the gold. He wants everything. What? It's the worst panel in the history of pre-shows. They would give an aspirin a headache. Literally, Booker T will say something that is not funny. Not funny at all. And then when they say, and what do you think, Sam, who's annoying enough anyway? Well, I think, ha, 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 he's still laughing at the joke that wasn't funny. So you can't hear Sam because Booker T is laughing in a microphone. Because he's drunk. Or if he's not drunk, he's dumb. Whichever one, because you don't do that. How about if every time Booker T tried to say a word, somebody laughed in the microphone so he couldn't hear him? God, that was a horrible pre-show. I'm not watching it anymore. So there you go, folks. The WWE last night couldn't leave well enough alone. They couldn't just allow Becky Lynch and Sasha Banks to have the brilliant match they had and let The Fiend and Seth Rollins just be a mauling, nasty. Seth Rollins got to take one for the team. That's all. You tell him, Seth, you're not losing the belt, but you're not getting in much offense. Yeah, you can get in a few moves, but he's going to kind of no-sell. And then, you know, you can get a good run in there where it looks like you're going to knock him down, or you do knock him down, but he's going to pop right back up. And then when you try to use that sledgehammer, he's going to pop right back up and start wailing you to the point where the referee's going to call for security and police and everything. I mean, what a cool moment it would have been if he's pounding Seth Rollins with a sledgehammer. The referee is screaming at the top of his lungs, security, security. The whole broadcast booth is saying, oh, come on, forget it. Forget the match. Get in there. And when police and paramedics and security and everybody fly into that thing, if boom, the lights go out, and when the lights go back on, there is no Fiend. There's just Seth Rollins spitting up blood. Every fan would have walked out of there saying that was freaking awesome. And man, Becky Lynch and Sasha Banks tore the house down. But then The Fiend, did you see that? Man, he almost killed Seth Rollins. That's all you have to do. It really wasn't hard. Fans would have forgiven the no contest. Absolutely would have forgiven the no contest. Most fans knew it was going to. I said that last night, yesterday. I said it's going to be a no contest of some kind. Because The Fiend ain't winning the belt. And he's sure as hell not getting pinned. But what I didn't realize is it's worse than being pinned. Being pinned means, oh, well, he wrapped me up in something and I'm not one bit hurt, but I just couldn't get my shoulder up quick enough. No, it's even worse. Seth Rollins beat him until the referee said, I have to stop this. This man may be seriously injured. So there goes your Fiend down the drain. I'm going to go to the phones now. Mike, I don't know what more to say about it.
I don't know what more to say. I mean, I don't even remember Impact doing this with Rosemary and her people, you know. I mean, that group of people was the tag team equivalent of The Fiend, you know. And they didn't do that. So, I mean, that's this. And look, if you wanted to pull that thing off, it shouldn't have been the referee. The referee is in there to do a job. The job is to count or get a submission, you know. That's not his job, is not to stop the match because of somebody. Well, his job is not to stop somebody from really hurting somebody. His job is to count the guy down or get a submission. The person that should have been ran out there would be Becky Lynch coming out and saying, look, see, I love you, but you're taking it too far. That would have been better, you know?
It's a very simple formula. The Fiend has to come out of this looking like he's an invincible monster. Not necessarily he can't be defeated, but that it's damn close, and that he has no filter. There's no line. There's no line. That way, people can say, well, now, wait a minute. The Fiend in Hell in a Cell did not try to become the WWE champion. The Fiend in Hell in a Cell tried to kill Seth Rollins or critically injure Seth Rollins. When you repeatedly smash someone with a sledgehammer, you are not trying to be the champion. You are trying to critically injure someone. And that is going way, 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 way too far. Then you have an out-of-control monster who wrestlers will fear, because you say, well, you know, in kayfabe, you say, well, of course everybody's got to fear him. Look what he did to Seth Rollins. He damn near killed Seth Rollins. He tried to kill him. He doesn't want to win. He doesn't even care about winning or losing. He just wants to maul him. And that is the perfect juxtaposition to introduce Bray Wyatt as a wrestler and say, I'm wrestling as Bray Wyatt. I don't do those things. But God forbid if he loses. Because if he does, that person who beat him, they're going to have to deal with the Fiend. And the Fiend does do those things. That is the way you handle the Fiend, because then you have Bray Wyatt on television a lot, but the Fiend very rarely. You have to protect this character. This isn't a character that can be on TV every week defending his belt on Raw or SmackDown and every pay-per-view. You can't have that. And you knew that. Before you ever put him in this match, you knew that. So whatever moron decided this was the way to go, how did you think the ending was going to be? The Fiend wins, and then what? A few people challenge him, lose, and then finally somebody beats him? That's your best use of the Fiend? You could keep the Fiend running for years. How long did you keep Andre the Giant running for years? Years. You know how you kept Andre the Giant running for years? He wasn't on every TV show. He wasn't at every live event. It was special. But when he was, you knew somebody was getting their ass kicked. Oh, yeah, they'd put up a fight. But they weren't beating them. And the WWE proudly went into WrestleMania 3, lying, of course, but saying, Andre the Giant's undefeated. He's never been defeated in all of his years of wrestling, which is not true. But we all bought into it, and that's what was the big main event, wasn't it? Who could ever beat Andre the Giant? If this was a year into the Fiend's reign of terror, I'd be okay with it. I'd even been okay if Seth Rollins won. Because at the end you say, well, somebody's got to be the guy that beats him. That's the way it goes. But you got to get everything out of him you can first. You went from chapter 1 to chapter 21. You're not getting any use out of the Fiend this way. You've already used him up and threw him out. And you do this to Bray Wyatt all the time, and I'm sick of it. You got all the talent in the world at your fingertips, and you don't have a goddamn clue to how to utilize them correctly to make the fans really pop. You just don't know. I never thought I would say this about the WWE and Vince McMahon, who revolutionized the world of professional wrestling, but they no longer have a clue. AEW doesn't have to be geniuses. They don't have to be stellar. They just have to be good and consistent, and they'll wipe the floor with the WWE. Because the fans are looking for consistency. I'm tired of these mamby-pamby, ridiculous, bullshit, egotistical wrestlers saying, well, I don't want to take too big of a beating because I... No, there's always that one character. Don't tell me there wasn't. Down through the history of wrestling, there's always that one character. Whether it was Andre the Giant, whether it was Hulk Hogan, whether it was the Ultimate Warrior, whether it was the Undertaker, whether it was Kane, there was always one figure. 911, there's always a figure that you say, well, no matter who you are, when this guy comes out, you're getting your ass kicked. That's just it. They tried to make Braun Strowman that, and they said, ah, we don't want to do that. But when they were doing that, guess who the most popular guy was? Oh, well, gee, it was Braun Strowman, wasn't it? I wonder why. Because you made it clear when that guy comes out, no matter who you are, you're getting your ass kicked, period, end of conversation. And then they said, no, we don't want to do that. Well, you have The Fiend. He didn't have to be out every show. He didn't have to be out every month even. Bray Wyatt could still be around. But nope. You used that all up last night. You destroyed Seth Rollins' finishers. You destroyed The Fiend's credibility as being able to withstand all kinds of punishment. You hooked him up with red lights and all kinds of weird stuff and tried to – I just don't know what's happening. And then at the end with the whole thing with Seth Rollins bleeding out of his mouth and then – totally ridiculously overbooked. It's a five-second booking job, Seth. You get your ass kicked through 8/10 of this match. On the ninth part of this match, you start making a miraculous babyface comeback. You're trying to knock him down. You're trying to stun him. You're trying to get him off his feet. You're trying to run him and make him tired. It looks like The Fiend is wearing down. You finally go to that dark place. You hit a couple of stomps. He gets up from it. You go to the chair. He gets up from it. You go to the ladder. He gets up from it. You go to the table. He gets up from it. You combine all three. It doesn't look like he's getting up from it. You go get the sledgehammer. You're torn between whether I should use it or not. When you just get ready to use it, like Jason from Friday the 13th, he pops back up, grabs you, puts you down on that mat, and starts wailing you with that sledgehammer until the referee says, well, I can't. We can't have this. Security has to be in here. The police have to be in here. What a moment you could have had, right? What a moment you could have had. You know how I would have played that up? The referee screaming, get security, get security. The announcer saying, this is beyond whatever. You can't have this. This isn't a professional wrestling match. This is disgraceful. Becky Lynch running down in tears saying, open the cage, open the cage. She's watching her man be killed. And then the lights go out and he's gone. And Seth Rollins is carried off on a stretcher to be continued. And everybody goes home happy. All the fans say, wow, that was dramatic. That was unbelievable. Did you see Becky Lynch desperately trying to claw her way into the cage and having to be held back? Seth Rollins coughing up blood. The Fiend disappearing from a cage when there's no way to get out. The announcers calling for security. There was even police in there. The bad guy, heel announcers even saying this is too far. That's got to be banned. He's got to be banned. You can't have somebody like that in this federation. What a great moment. And then everybody says, wow, Hell in a Cell. First match and last match blew us away. Nope, couldn't do that, could you, WWE? Because you can't think of it. Because you don't realize. You don't realize. You got your head in the sand like an ostrich. You're saying, Seth Rollins is a hero. Why are the fans cooling down on him? Because you're not giving them any reason not to cool down on him. That's why. Yeah, he's bit himself in the ass with his stupid Twitter and other things. But you're not giving them any reason. This might have actually gave fans a reason. They're still going to like The Fiend. Because it's such a cool character. But I think that sight of Becky Lynch dramatically crying, trying to claw her way into the cage when people are holding her back, screaming for them to stop him. Seth Rollins coughing up blood. Police in there trying to stop before it gets way too far. I think maybe fans would have said, yeah, I do feel sorry for Seth. That was fucked up. That's fucked up. And maybe that would have warmed them to Seth Rollins a little bit. And maybe that would have warmed them to Seth Rollins and Becky Lynch as a couple. I mean, if you want The Fiend to be a face, make him a face. If you want him to be a heel, make him do things that fans say, well, I'm not going to condone that. He's a cool character, but that's fucked up. That's what you got to do, folks. Choose one. You don't drive in the center of the road. You choose the lane, right? WWE can't do it. Todd, this was one of the worst endings to a pay-per-view, maybe in the history of professional wrestling.
Oh, you're absolutely right there, like you said. Like, when I watched the same thing as you did last night, like, this is the, one of the shittiest endings I ever seen in my entire fan life as a wrestling fan. Like, I could see better endings than that.
Did it help Seth Rollins in any way? No. The fans now hate Seth Rollins. Did it help The Fiend in any way? No. Because now The Fiend looks weak and very beatable. You've already seen The Fiend push to his limit, and it's only his second match. And he's already been pushed to his limit. It helped no one. Mike, take my ending. They're going off the air with Becky Lynch literally, you know, over the stretcher of Seth Rollins as he crying as he's being let out. The announcer saying this is a somber moment because we have no idea what the condition of Seth Rollins is. He was struck with a sledgehammer multiple times by a man who had absolutely no intention of winning a belt tonight. And there's going to have to be ramifications from this. If you played this off correctly, fans would be chomping at the bit for Monday Night Raw, saying, I wonder what happened to Seth. Are they going to fire the Fiend? Are they going to fire Bray Wyatt? Is there going to be steps taken? What the hell's going on? You have to have them dramatic moments. Instead, we just had this nonsense, Mike.
Right, and that's the thing. I mean, the whole thing with Becky Lynch, you're right. She's still, she's not going to leave without Seth, you know. They obviously, they're traveling together and all that stuff. But, I mean, it would be very easily done to have her do what you said. Come out there, and she's like, she's supposed to be this tough girl, but she's obviously loves this guy and cares for this guy, and she don't want to see him get hurt. You know,
see,
and
you
just
see, Mike, you get it. Mike, you get it 100%. Okay, I would rather have Mike writing for the WWE than whoever the fuck wrote this mess, because Mike gets it. That's the exact point, Mike. We never see Becky Lynch show much emotion. She's always like, nope, I'm a tough bitch. I don't care what's happening. I'll go in there and I'll kick their ass. When the man comes around, that's the way it goes. But this is so severe that Becky Lynch just breaks her character. She's crying hysterically. She's begging people to help. Get them out. Hurry, please, please, please. And you're saying to yourself, oh, my God, Becky Lynch is catatonic. This is awful. We never seen this side of Becky Lynch. That's what sells it. That's the selling point, folks. That's what's called the selling point. Becky Lynch totally breaks character. She's crying like a little kid over the man she loves. The Fiend damn near tried to kill him. Seth Rollins being hauled out on a stretcher, coughing up blood. We don't even know what his condition is. The Fiend is gone, and we don't know how. The police are involved, because that's assault. The announcers are pissed off and worried and trying to cut away from certain things, saying we can't even show. We can't even show this. This is not something you want to see. Just keep the cameras on us. And as they're hauling Seth Rollins out, you know, you can see maybe in the background. Get that shot where the announcers are being focused, but you can see a little bit in the background. Where the announcers are trying to say, you know, keep the camera on us. This is not good. This isn't good.
And you know what they do the night after, right?
So what's your thought on that, Mike?
Right, yeah, absolutely, you know. Think about this. You know what they do generally after a pay-per-view? They don't show the actual footage. They'll show pictures, you know, on Raw of, you know, such and such a match or the XYZ match, whatever. And they'll show pictures of the match, and they'll tell you what happened. Can you imagine them not deciding not to show even stills of the match, you know.
Right, just saying, look, we're not even going to show you the aftermath of this. All we know is, and you know what you do? Seth Rollins got to go bye-bye for a little while. And say, we don't know if the 30-day rule is gone. We don't know. We may even waive the 30-day rule. And the reason we may waive the 30-day rule is because no one ever thought in a million years that some maniac would come in with a sledgehammer and just go to wailing on somebody's rib cage like it was a board. That's why. But from this point forward, the Fiend is not booked, period. No one is fighting the Fiend. But he still shows up, doesn't he? And he still attacks people, doesn't he? And then eventually, of course, you have wrestlers say, well, I most certainly am going to fight him. I'm not going to be attacked and do nothing. And then, of course, you have Seth Rollins eventually come back. And you got a really good rematch, right? Seth Rollins as the big hero saying, I realize he tried to kill me. And it would be really easy for me to say what the WWE is saying, and that is, I don't have to fight him. He's not a competitor. And I can just let this slide, but that's not what I'm going to do. Because if I do that, then he wins. And he's not going to win. There you go. Then you got a really good rematch. Maybe, you know, month, 2-3 months down the road, something like that. By that time, you can flesh the character out a little bit more and we can figure out what's going on. I'm not against the Fiend losing. Eventually. Because every bad guy eventually loses. Every heel eventually, you know, gets their day. But Jesus, tell the story first, please. Tell the story. Milk it. You could have Becky Lynch out there tonight saying this should have been the happiest moment of my life. I left that Hell in the Cell cage, the women's champion, knowing in my heart of hearts, Sasha Banks and I left every ounce of whatever we had in that ring. And whether you like Sasha Banks or you don't like Sasha Banks, she gave every single thing she had to give. And I was backstage as happy as I could be because I thought we had really struck a milestone moment for women's wrestling. And 2 hours later, I'm watching them carry out my fiance or boyfriend, whatever it happens to be, on a stretcher. He's coughing up blood. He can't speak. He doesn't know where he is. And I'm watching paramedics with looks on their faces that I never want to see again. That's dramatic. That's impactful. And then if Becky Lynch is in that ring doing that, and all of a sudden the Firefly Funhouse comes on, and Bray Wyatt's all happy saying, hi, Becky, I'm sorry to hear that your boyfriend got hurt, but we did try to warn him. I mean, at some point, you'd be like, this is fucked up. You can make Bray Wyatt's character a heel. You just got to make sure that you get it right. Right now, he's the coolest guy in the room. So there's no way the fans are booing him. But if you do it correctly, you can bring that around. There was a fan last night who had a sign that said, Seth is not cool. And it kind of went viral because Seth Rollins is staring daggers at him on his way out. And you can clearly hear the fan saying, it's bad booking, Seth. It's bad booking. That fan is right. Seth Rollins has been booked to be an egotistical, arrogant, self-aggrandizing prick. That's not a face. A face is that guy who 2 weeks down the road says, I couldn't talk. You're right. I couldn't because my mouth was filled with blood. But I'm looking up at my girlfriend and I'm watching her crying over my body. How do you think that makes me feel? Not as a competitor. Forget the competitor. How do you think that makes me feel as a man? I don't know what stupid, twisted games Bray Wyatt thinks he's playing, but this wasn't a game. Because there was a few minutes there where I thought I was done. Not as a competitor, not as a champion, as a human being. And we can all talk about wrestlers taking things too far, but no one's ever taken it this far. Then maybe Seth Rollins comes around and people say, hey, Seth is right. And then bad enough that he did that, but then he's teasing Becky Lynch on Monday Night Raw about it. You could do it. You just got to be smart. You got to have those dramatic moments. Everyone loves Becky Lynch. If Becky Lynch breaks character and is attempting to get in the ring where you can even say, yeah, you can have the announcer saying Becky Lynch is so distraught, she's willing to fight the Fiend. She's literally willing to get in there and try to fight the Fiend to save her man. She's also crying hysterically. And then on Monday Night Raw, when she's trying to give a heartfelt speech to the audience and explain that Seth is injured, here comes Bray Wyatt in the funhouse making fun of it, saying, we were all really sad about what happened to Seth, weren't we? But we did warn him. That's fucked up. And people are going to say, that is a little fucked up. You just got to be smart. The WWE is not smart. The WWE single-handedly probably destroyed Seth Rollins' face appeal and Bray Wyatt's appeal completely, because now we've seen Bray Wyatt's Fiend character pressed to the limit, beaten to the point where the referee said this person can no longer continue. And don't give me the nonsense about, yes, but he popped back up. I don't care. I don't care. He was beaten so badly, the referee said, end it. It's over. I'm worried about the safety and the health of the Fiend. Wouldn't it have been better if he was worried about the safety and health of Seth Rollins, because the Fiend went to a place that was way, way, way too dark? Why do we make Seth Rollins go to a place that's way, way, way too dark? How about the Fiend goes there? Isn't that what he's supposed to do? I don't know. Last night I shut off the event, and I really seriously considered saying I'm done, because I feel very disenfranchised as a WWE fan. I feel very frustrated as a WWE fan, and I feel as though every single time the WWE latches onto something that I can enjoy and that I am very much into, they destroy it gleefully and say, you're an idiot if you thought we were going to protect this. You're an idiot if you thought we were really going to give you what you wanted. And there's only so many times this can happen before you just reluctantly say, I'm going to find different sources for my entertainment. Now, I'm not at that stage. I'm going to watch tonight's Monday Night Raw. Part of my job here is to watch all wrestling. But I'm telling you that I can review something. I'm not a fan of most of the teams that are in the playoffs, but I can watch it and review it. I'm a baseball fan. Well, I'm a wrestling fan too. I'm just not a big WWE fan right now. And they're going to have to win me back. I'll still review it. I'll still tell you what's good and what's bad. But I'm not a fan. And the reason I'm not a fan is because fans are now being abused. And I can guarantee you the WWE, Seth Rollins, and everybody else will say, disrespectful fans, disrespectful fans, disrespectful fans, wrong. 100% wrong. Look in the mirror and realize who's really at fault here. Disrespectful fans as if they booed Becky Lynch and Sasha Banks, because there's no reason for it. They didn't do anything wrong. But when the fans literally almost riot, that better send a damn good signal to you. I can't believe someone didn't come up with at least a little bit of what I suggested. Maybe you don't have to make it that melodramatic, but you could have done some of it. You could have done some of it. Instead, you chose to make Seth Rollins look like he beat the Fiend so badly they had to stop the match. That's the takeaway. I don't care if the Fiend recovered. He beat him so bad they had to stop the match. That's the end of the match. That's it. Seth Rollins wins because the Fiend is unable to continue. That's the official verdict of that match. Seth was not disqualified. So that's it. Let's talk a little bit about the rest of this card because some of it deserves to be talked about. Certainly, Mike, the Sasha Banks-Becky Lynch match was candidate for match of the year and probably the best women's match of the year, hands down, easily.
It really was. And look, it was every bit as creative as the New Day Usos match inside Hell in a Cell. Remember that match?
Yes.
I mean, how creative that match was and how everybody was just praising that. This is every bit. And look, I'll say this. That match took women's wrestling kind of to a whole new level, kind of at least 4, 5, 6, 7 steps ahead of where it should be. You know, I mean, that's how good this match was. Now, it did surprise me with the ending. Because we know she's going to SmackDown, right? So it surprised me with the ending, but that still doesn't say that she can't lose it tonight, you know?
Right.
Lose it tonight. But the match in and of itself was an incredible match. I mean, that one move where she sets up a bunch of kendo sticks and puts the chair in the cage on top of the kendo sticks. And drop kicks her into the cage while she's sitting in a chair.
Oh, that was fantastic.
That was an incredible spot.
And then, Mike, all of those, Sasha Banks doing her move on the ladder and then putting Becky Lynch through the table with just incredible stuff. They were cranking on all cylinders. So let me go even further because now my creative mind is working. How about you do this? You do exactly what I said with Seth Rollins and the Fiend in the cage. Becky Lynch is distraught. She's upset. She's told tonight, you're getting a rematch with Sasha Banks. And she says, what are you talking about? I can't wrestle tonight. Well, you have to. So she goes out there, distraught as she can possibly be. And somewhere in the middle of the match, the Firefly Funhouse thing comes on. Or the lights go out, ching, 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 and you say, Jesus Christ, the Fiend is going to attack her. But when the lights come back on, Sasha Banks just rolls her up for the 3 count. And you say, God damn it, Bray Wyatt cost Becky Lynch the belt. So he's destroyed Seth Rollins. He's cost Becky Lynch the belt. You mean to tell me that's not going to make fans say, I don't know, I do feel a little sorry for Seth. Maybe I will root for him. I mean, that seems like the right way to get the belt off Becky Lynch if she's going to move to SmackDown, and it helps promote the Fiend at the same time. Maybe he could even appear on the stage where Becky Lynch is like, oh, my God, and then, boom, Sasha Banks rolls her up in the bank statement or whatever it happens to be, backstabber, and that's it. That would be the best way to get the belt off Becky Lynch and still promote the Seth Rollins Fiend thing and have the Fiend promoted correctly, Mike.
Right, and think about it. Think about it this way. Also, remember when before they went the first time to Saudi Arabia, and the Bludgeon Brothers were going strong, and then they kind of beat up on the Usos, and here comes Naomi,
yeah.
You know, and what we said should have happened then is they should have at least threatened her or. And at most threw Naomi around a little bit, you know. I mean, she's a wrestler after all. She's an athlete right. after all. So, you know, can you imagine what would have what would happen if he don't even have to do anything but to stick his do the mandible claw to her?
After she lost, if he had got in that ring and put the mandible claw on her, it would have been, yeah, exactly. People would have been like, well, I don't, you know, this is crazy. We thought Bray Wyatt was cool for a while, but wow, this is really crossing a line. This is getting to be a little whatever. And slowly but surely, fans would say, well, who's going to beat him? You know, this is fucked up. He's just doing whatever he wants to do. You can make this work. You can absolutely make this work, but the Fiend has to really be diabolical. He can't be the coolest guy in the room. He's legitimately got to be diabolical. Diabolical is attempting to kill Seth Rollins in a cage. Diabolical is making Becky Lynch break character and try to claw her way into the cage and crying over Seth Rollins being hauled away. Diabolical is having, teasing her about it during her match, popping onto the funhouse and teasing her about how's Seth doing, causing her to lose. And then if that's not bad enough, then the lights go out after Sasha Banks parades out of there with the belt. And next thing you know, there's the Fiend and he's got Becky Lynch in the mandible claw. Wow. That's not good TV. I think that's pretty good TV. And I do think it would be a turning point because I don't think the fans would cheer about that. I don't think the fans would say, oh, that's cool. He beat up Becky Lynch. I think they'd say, oh, now, wait a minute. Is this where they're going to go with this guy where he's going to be totally diabolical? Yes. Yes, that's where you go with him. Of course. Nope. Can't do that. Got to make Seth Rollins look like he beat him so bad. Paramedics had to come in. Wow. So let me get this straight. The powers that be are so dumb that they say the Fiend is supposed to be this almost indestructible monster. But the ending of the match is that Seth Rollins is going to beat him so bad, paramedics have to come in to make sure he's actually not hurt terribly. Wouldn't it be better if it was Seth Rollins we had to come in on and make sure that he's not hurt terribly? Couldn't we do that? Wouldn't that make more sense? Duh. Anyway, Becky Lynch and Sasha Banks, terrific match, Todd.
Oh, you're absolutely right there. It was a good match right there. Like you said, that match was better than the Bray Wyatt as the Fiend and Seth Rollins match right there. Like that match with Becky Lynch and Sasha Banks had an ending to that match.
And even though I may not have, I thought the ending was weird. I was like, whoa, I can't believe that happened. If they had have lured me into that and I said, oh, I know why Becky Lynch won now, because she's losing tomorrow night thanks to the Fiend, and that's going to, oh, that's great. That's good storytelling. That's what I would have thought. If I saw my gimmick played out, I would have said, oh, I get it now. Okay. Wow. That's why she won at Hell in a Cell. That's cool. They really planned that. They planned that awesome. That's what makes a fan out of people. When you say, oh, man. Yeah, they kind of lured me into a false sense of security, and then they did this. And then fans were like, I just know Daniel Bryan's turning on Roman Reigns. No. Instead, they hug. Will Daniel Bryan eventually turn on him? Probably. Maybe not. I don't know. Does anybody care? Because this was the time to do it. And you didn't. So Daniel Bryan stays face. The Kabuki Warriors turn heel. Asuka resorts to spitting green mist in the face of Nikki Cross to win the tag team belts in a match that had no build-up. I don't know. Baron Corbin and Chad Gable had a match. Okay. Chad Gable is still great. I don't want him to be called Shorty G. That's stupid. For God's sake, just let Chad Gable be Chad Gable. He's doing fine. Baron Corbin's doing fine. Randy Orton and Ali, I don't care. I don't care. Send Ali back to NXT. There's nothing happening for him. And Randy Orton is a yawn fest as far as I'm concerned. I know he has fans. I get it. Actually, I don't get it. I don't know why he has fans. I don't know. I don't particularly think he's overly exciting. He's good on the mic. I don't know. Just like a guy who's been around too long, you know, it's just I'm tired of him. Don't care. So there you go, folks. There was your whole pay-per-view. Anything that happened in between Becky Lynch, Sasha Banks, and that final match would have been fine and dandy with me. I would have had some small critiques. But if that Hell in a Cell match had ended in the way I said, this would be probably an A pay-per-view. How could it be anything but? You got a 5-star match out of Becky Lynch and Sasha Banks, and you gave the fans exactly what you wanted if my scenario played out with The Fiend. The Roman Reigns and Daniel Bryan match with the Bludgeon Brothers, so to speak, that was fine. There was nothing wrong with it. Perfectly good match. Charlotte Flair winning the belt. I don't know what that's, you know, I don't know what that's all about. But here's one thing. If Sasha Banks is going to be this big badass, I'm the boss, she's got to stop crying every time she loses. I don't know why they did it with Bayley, and I don't know why they did it with Sasha. Bayley loses to Charlotte. She's outside the ring for 5 minutes crying. Sasha loses. She's out there for 5 minutes crying. I know the WWE is not a big fan of it, but I was just hoping. I was just hoping that Becky Lynch would call Sasha Banks back into that ring to take a bow. They didn't have to embrace. They didn't have to shake hands. She could have just said, look, that was the hardest title defense I have ever had. And I know you left every single piece of what you had in here just like I did. And so do these fans. So you deserve credit too. Come take a bow. That would have been cool. Instead, Sasha Banks is crying. I don't know why. So let me get this straight. You can cry because you didn't win the belt. You can cry because you lost the belt. But to have Becky Lynch cry because her boyfriend is almost being murdered and his health is in question as he's being carried out, that would be going too far. We don't want to see her crying over her boyfriend. Oh, but you can cry because you lost the belt, or you can cry because you didn't win it, right? Just think of how many loopholes and logic holes is in there. Don't hit him with a sledgehammer, Seth. That would be going too far. But 5 minutes before that, Bray Wyatt brings in a mallet. What's really a difference between a mallet and a sledgehammer? Who put the mallet underneath there? Did Bray Wyatt sneak around and go? See, this is why it's not logical to the character. The Fiend shouldn't be a character who says, oh, they're setting up the ring. Let me go out there. Hey, guys, how's the ring coming? Cool. How's the family? Yeah, I'm just going to hide some weapons here for later, okay? Yeah, cool. See you later. Nice. Is that what the Fiend is supposed to be? I don't think so. Now, you could maybe argue Seth Rollins hid the sledgehammer because he knew he might need a help. But Bray Wyatt should have never had anything under that ring that didn't belong there. So overall, what's the pay-per-view? Well, boy, I tell you. Because this, I feel so sorry for Becky Lynch and Sasha Banks. And I'm not the world's biggest Sasha Banks fan. But they earned everything. All the accolades that should have been on them today are now just venom being spilled at the main event. They were robbed of it. They were robbed of their opportunity. by horrible overbooking and underbooking and lousy booking and every other kind of booking you can think of in that main event. So I do feel very sorry for him. So what I'm going to do is this. Sasha Banks and Becky Lynch's Hell in a Cell match gets an A-plus from me. I don't think you can do better than this. There wasn't one botch, and there was a lot of spots that were very easily botchable. Very easily botchable. And I'm going to give an A-plus to Roman Reigns for a reason that more wrestlers should really consider doing. When Roman Reigns speared Eric Rowan through the table near the end of the match, Roman Reigns grabbed his knee immediately and was screaming in pain. And I said to myself, Jesus, he's blown his knee. For real. He blew his knee for real. And then just a minute or so later, he's fine. He's back in the ring. And I'm saying, wow. Now, he bluffed me. He definitely marked me out there because I said, well, he grabbed it immediately. It wasn't an afterthought of, I probably should act like I'm hurt. I mean, it was immediate and it seemed real. And I said to myself, whoa, Roman Reigns blew his knee out. Luke Harper also did the same thing early in the match where I thought he blew his knee out for real. So that match actually gets about an A from me too. I didn't like the booking at the end. I thought Daniel Bryan should have turned on Roman Reigns, but okay. But those guys worked hard. They worked hard. So I'm separating that. Everything else was standard. Average, just plain average. It was good. Just like a Monday Night Raw match. But that main event, destroyed. Absolutely destroyed any hope of anyone saying anything positive about the rest of that pay-per-view. So I'm going to dissect those two matches and say, kudos to Roman Reigns, A-plus on marking me out. Kudos to Luke Harper, A-plus on marking me out. Big kudos to Becky Lynch and Sasha Banks for putting on probably the most entertaining Hell in a Cell match since the Usos and the New Day. And I'll be honest with you, I might even like this one a little better. Because I wasn't expecting it. I was expecting the Usos and the New Day to tear it apart. I did not expect this. But there's nothing that can save this pay-per-view when you took the biggest money-making opportunity you had. The one thing that the fans were all in agreement on was the coolest, best gimmick currently in the WWE, and destroy it. This is the equivalent of when Piper's Pit became red hot. If Roddy Piper had been beaten like a dog, did that happen? Or did you protect Roddy Piper because you knew that's the hottest commodity we got? And if he doesn't live up to everything he says, he can't get on Piper's Pit and be bragging about how cool he is. No. You made sure, even when he fought Hogan, he didn't lose, did he? Oh, maybe by DQ, maybe something else. But no. Piper was never beaten like a dog because you knew what he was worth. Well, you did exactly the opposite. You did exactly the opposite with The Fiend. Let me go to the phone, see who I got on the phone. Caller, are you there? I guess not. So let's give our ratings. I'm giving the big thumbs up to Becky Lynch and Sasha Banks. I wish it was in a different pay-per-view. They were fantastic. Nothing short of fantastic. I have no critique for that match. None. It was perfect. Roman Reigns did a really good job of marking me out with that knee injury. So did Luke Harper. I thought both of them were hurt for real. Aside from that, it was Monday Night Raw until the main event came along. And then the main event was an abomination. An absolute abomination and an absolute slap in the face of the wrestling fans who did not take it. They chanted AEW. They chanted bullshit. They chanted refund. They chanted restart the match. And again, when they were chanting AEW, I don't want anyone to be confused about this. They weren't chanting AEW because AEW is better. If AEW was better, they wouldn't be sitting at Hell in a Cell pay-per-view having spent I don't know how much on the ticket. They were chanting AEW because they were sending a message to the WWE that we don't have to take this. There is now an alternative. That's the message they were sending. And the WWE better wake up fast, because whoever you've got writing and booking this nonsense, whoever you've got trying to protect these characters that are so crucial, whoever you've got that's trying to promote Seth Rollins as a face when you're clearly making him a heel, or trying to promote The Fiend as this unstoppable force when he's the guy who got beaten so bad the match had to be stopped, they need to go. They need to go. And if it's Vince McMahon himself, then someone has to tell him. Someone has to have the courage to tell him, you cannot continue to do this and keep your fan base, because it's not working. And if you want to come out here and say, oh, disrespectful fans, wouldn't have mattered what we gave them in that cage, they still would have chanted bullshit. Wrong. Take a look at Seth Rollins' face on the way out. Seth Rollins knew this thing was a disaster from the moment he walked out to get in the cage. He already knew it. Seth Rollins knew this is not going to work. This is going to make me look like an idiot. This is going to destroy me. This is not going to bode well for Bray Wyatt. But what the hell? This is what we got to do, because this is what we were told to do. He knew it was going to shit the bed. And as soon as he left that cage, got back to his feet and stumbled back to the dressing room, with the fans booing him, look at his face. That's the face of someone who clearly said, I knew this shit was going to backfire. I fucking knew it. So there you have it. So if I take the Becky Lynch, Sasha Banks things out of it, this is an F. This is a total F. You failed on a multiple choice test that had one answer. Literally. That's how bad it is. It's like if I gave you the question, what do farmers do? The choices are A, farm, and that's the only choice. And you write in B, juggle basketballs. That's what the WWE did. There was one answer to last night's Hell in a Cell match with The Fiend and Seth Rollins. The Fiend dominates, mauls him, does not win because they have to stop the match for Seth Rollins' safety, and declare it a no contest, but The Fiend comes out looking like not only just strong, he comes out looking like he tried to kill Seth Rollins. Seth Rollins comes out looking like a guy who was lucky to survive because he was in there against something that had no intention of just taking his belt. He was in there against something that had the intention of ending his career. And you couldn't get it done. You did just exactly the friggin' polar opposite. I don't know how The Fiend rebounds from this. I don't know how Seth Rollins rebounds from this. What's Seth Rollins supposed to do? Come out and say, last night, I was pushed to my limit. I told you all I was going to survive, and I had to go to the darkest place, and fans are just going to boo him out of the building, and he's going to get pissed. And then Bray Wyatt's going to say, I told you The Fiend was unstoppable. Well, no, wrong. He was so stoppable that they had to stop the match. That's the definition of stoppable. He's so stoppable, he was stopped. He was stopped last night. I don't care what he did after the match. The match was stopped. He was unable to continue. It's over. He was beaten until he couldn't continue by Seth Rollins. Fans aren't going to forgive Seth Rollins for that. Fans aren't going to warm up to Bray Wyatt's Fiend character because of that. You've just absolutely dropped the goddamn ball. You had an open court layup shot and you fucked it up. And for the life of me, I do not know how anyone with any goddamn sense booked that match and thought this is going to make the fans stand and applaud. But that must be what you thought, because I refuse to believe that the WWE said, how do we piss the fans off? How do we get the fans to chant AEW tonight? How do we screw over everybody who came here to buy a ticket? I refuse to believe that. So that's how out of touch you are. You're sitting there saying, fans are going to eat this up. And there's not one person with the brains or the balls, whichever it happens to be, to stand up and say, wait a minute. Are you on crack? That's going to have the exact reverse effect. These fans are going to riot if that happens. Where are those people? And I tell you what you'll hear about in the sheets. You'll hear about, well, the writers knew it. A couple of writers said, oh, this isn't going to be good, but Vince wanted it. And well, then you're a sissy bastard, because here's the deal. You go in and you say, I'm warning you. If you do this, you're going to get a very bad reaction. And I wash my hands of it, Vince. You're the boss. Do what you want. But I'm telling you, as your employee, and you can fire me if you want, this is a gigantic, colossal mistake. And if he still says do it, and it's a gigantic, colossal mistake, I would assume that today he would come to you and say, you were absolutely correct. I should have listened to you. You obviously have a better feel of what's going on in here than me, so I'm going to let you make these decisions from now on. I was wrong. No, that's not what's going to happen. Everyone who opposes anything is going to be fired or undermined to the point where if you want to run this thing, then go ahead and run it. But when the fans are chanting AEW and refund at the end of your event, don't sit there and tell me that it's because they're just disrespectful. Because that's bullshit. And you better learn to understand that. I'm tired of the fans getting the blame for all of this bullshit. The fans bought into the Bray Wyatt thing 100%. You gave it to them. They loved it. They gave you thumbs up. They said, you're doing a great job. Keep going, keep going, keep going. And every week on this radio, I said to all of you, you better pray that they don't fuck it up. Because I'm telling you right now, they're going to. And when I heard that this match was going to happen, what did I tell everybody? I said, this is a mistake. Because there's no good outcome. But if you force my hand and say, we must have this match, then the outcome I gave you in this show is the only one that's acceptable. It's the only answer on the multiple choice. It's not multiple choice. It's a choice. That's the only acceptable answer. So even if you don't understand the question, let's say the WWE is so out of touch they don't understand the question. What would happen if you said, well, here's a test. What is 18 divided by 40 to the 7th power XZY times 7? And the answer is 42, orange juice, roast beef, or ham. Then I'm pretty sure you're smart enough to say, well, it must be the number. So you don't even have to know anything to know the answer. The WWE didn't have to know anything to know the answer to this question, and they still dropped the ball. You're so out of touch, you have no clue. You're going down the tubes, I'm telling you. AEW is laughing their asses off at you because you are handing them the keys to the kingdom and saying, take it, it's yours. Mike, I'm giving a pay-per-view an F.
I can't. I'm going to give it, because of those two things you mentioned earlier, I'm going to give it a little bit better. I'm going to say a D minus. You know, I mean, obviously we saw, we knew the ending of the Roman, that Roman Reigns tag team match, and we knew who was taking a pin, but obviously Luke Harper put on a good show in that match. He did. he didn't wrestle like he was going to take the pin. So I got to give him that. And, of course, the Becky Lynch match, you know. And that
that's why I had to separate. I had to separate the Becky Lynch match. I had to separate it. I had to. Todd, what's your rating?
An F.
Just terrible. You can't make this kind of mistake. You just can't if you're the WWE. You just can't make this mistake. You had on a silver platter a character that the WWE fans were buying into. And you had to ruin it, didn't you? You had to take it too far. You always have to jump the goddamn shark. I don't know, folks. I don't know. Being a WWE fan is a little bit like being a Jets fan, I guess, this season, huh? You're just going to lose and lose and lose and lose. And it's okay if you, you know, say, well, I'm still loyal. That's fine. But just understand that you're just going to lose. Oh, there may be a play or two that you say, that was a great play. But in the end, you're going to lose. That's the WWE. Once in a while, you're going to see a great match. But in the end, the fans are going to lose because the WWE is completely out of touch with their fan base. We'll see what happens tonight on Monday Night Raw. It could get ugly. And we'll be back here at 12 noon tomorrow with the Monday Night Raw report.
You're listening to Wrestling Chat Radio. WrestleChat Radio is a Savage Blade production.